Now, God is mind, we learn in Christian Science. How do we deduce that God is mind? By what authority has Mrs. Eddy come to the conclusion that God is mind and man idea? There are a great many things in the Bible which give authority for this conclusion or deduction, but there is probably none plainer than the statement of 1 John, 4th chapter, where it is written, quote, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Close quote. Now, what is love? Is it anything that we can see, feel, taste, smell, or hear? Is it anything cognized or cognizable by the five physical senses? No. It is something you and I express or reflect in our thinking, isn't it? Could you possibly conceive that love could be expressed in any other way than thinking? Outward or physical evidences of love, loving acts, etc., are simply evidences of loving thoughts. An act must be thought before it is put into action or evidence. Therefore, love must be wholly and purely mental, must it not? It must be a product of mind. It must have originated in mind. Now, did you or I ever originate love? Did we ever create love? Why, no. Love has existed eternally. Love has been evidenced through mortals for centuries, and no person who has ever expressed true love has originated that love. Love has always been in existence, eternally, and has been possible to all men of all times. Love must have existed long before mortal man ever found a place on this earth, else there would have been no love. Now, as love must be expressed in thinking, and can be expressed in no other way, it must have come from a mind which has existed long before the so-called worlds were formed, or man, mortal man, was made a possibility. Love exists everywhere, does it not? And can you conceive that love could ever be exhausted or diminished simply because a great many people express love? If, therefore, as John tells us, God is love, and if love must be expressed in our thinking and must have come from some mind, then is there any other conclusion to arrive at than that God is mind? And is there any other conclusion that one can arrive at except that love is an idea? Therefore, in the proportion that you and I express in our thinking just a little of that one idea, love, to that extent are we uniting ourselves with love, which is God. And to just the extent that we are letting our thoughts enter our thinking, which are unloving and unlovely, to that extent are we separating ourselves from the mind which creates love, that great supply of love. The illustration could be carried on indefinitely with other terms, qualities, or ideas of mind, but this will suffice to show us the utter necessity of making our own union with God through right thinking, and how utterly impossible it is for anyone to think wrongly and still expect the protection, guidance, and care which come only from that unity which exists between God and man. Now, the love, to confine ourselves to that one term, which you and I express in our thinking, is an idea of mind. Therefore, when we express love, are we not united absolutely with mind? Is there any separation between love and the mind that created it? Now, that love, which you and I express in our thinking, is the true man in us. It is that part of us which is the image and likeness of God. It is the Christ in us. Thus, we begin to see what God and his idea man are, and how indissoluble the relationship between the two is. It would be inconceivable to think of love as separated in any way from the mind that created it, would it not? So it would not be possible to think of man, the compound idea of all right ideas, as separated from the mind that created these ideas. So we can see clearly that back of the real man, or back of these ideas which go to make up the true and perfect man of God's creating, is perfect God. And now we are getting to the point I spoke of a few moments ago, of the confusion which has arisen sometimes regarding the spiritual idea and material man. Now, mortal man, with all his accompaniments, is a creation of what? Who made or what made a mortal? Why, you answer, mortal mind. True enough, but where did mortal mind get its pattern for making mortal man? Did mortal mind get it from God? No, because mortal mind knows nothing about God. Mortal mind would have to be pretty good to come into contact with divine mind or God. The Bible tells us that, quote, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity, close quote. Therefore, we have biblical authority for the positive assurance that God knows nothing about mortal mind or material man. Mrs. Eddy tells us in Science and Health that if mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better. And she also tells us that the material and the spiritual never mingle and never touch at any point. Therefore, there is no possible way to become confused with the supposition that mortal mind ever got near enough to divine mind to steal its pattern for man and create a man called mortal with the perfect man as a model. In other words, mortal mind never knew anything of God or the man of God's creating, and consequently, in making its concept of man, it had to use its own model and could not possibly have used immortal man as a model. Therefore, while we say, and Mrs. Eddy tells us, that mortal man is the counterfeit of the true, yet we should never become confused with the thought that mortal man is the counterfeit of the spiritual man, with the spiritual man as a pattern for the counterfeit. The spiritual man and the material man have no connection whatever as a perfect original and an imperfect copy. Mortal man was never copied from the immortal. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, human belief has sought and interpreted in its own way the echo of spirit, and so seems to have reversed it and repeated it materially. Close quote. And then she also says, quote, God creates all forms of reality. His thoughts are spiritual realities. So-called mortal mind, being non-existent and consequently not within the range of immortal existence, could not, by simulating deific power, invert the divine creation and afterwards recreate persons or things upon its own plane, since nothing exists beyond the range of all-inclusive infinity, in which, and of which, God is the sole creator. Close quote. Now, it is plain to be seen from the standpoint of reason, and what Mrs. Eddy has given us in all her writings, and from the Bible, that the creations of mortal mind are completely outside the realm of spirit. And mortal mind has nothing for its own background but its own material conceptions. Therefore, by what authority could you or I or anyone else make the assertion, with any degree of understanding of Christian Science, that a spiritual idea is the foundation for a material miscreation? To explain what I mean, do you say in your metaphysical work that there is a spiritual idea stomach, or a spiritual idea automobile, or a spiritual idea house? If you do, you have missed the very heart and soul of Christian Science. People seem to have become confused in regard to the subject of spiritual idea because of the assertion which has been made that back of every material object there is a perfect spiritual idea. Now, that statement is exactly true. Back of every material object there is a perfect spiritual idea. But that spiritual idea, or those spiritual ideas, have no connection whatever to the material object. If you could get clear in your metaphysical perception that in place of every material object there is a perfect spiritual idea, or ideas which have no connection with or relationship to the material, then you would be right. You would not say that because there is a material stomach, there must be a perfect spiritual stomach somewhere as a background for the material. You would not say that there is a perfect spiritual idea of stomach back of the material stomach, because that is not so. The material exists not because of the spiritual, or because mortal mind knows anything of the spiritual. It exists because mortal mind does not know anything of the spiritual, and could not create its own creation with the spiritual as a copy. Therefore, what mortal mind says is a material stomach was never created with any knowledge of a spiritual stomach or a spiritual idea stomach. And I have found out that much confusion in working in the giving of a treatment and in seeing the true spiritual situation in regard to a material condition exists because of the misconception that the material counterfeit is based upon spiritual perfection. Why, do you not see that the moment you try to spiritualize a material object, you have the spiritual as a foundation for the material, and thus you have made spirit, or God, the author or the creator of all mortal discord, sickness, unhappiness, sorrow, and degradation? The moment you try to connect the material with the spiritual, the moment you try to unite them and make one the basis for the other, then you have a dual creation and chaos. What is the truth about any material condition? There is no truth about it. The only truth about it is that it is a lie. It is not a lie about the spiritual. It is a lie of its own creating, and that is all you can say about it.